Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through verse 21. I want to preach tonight on the Word of God's place in society. I believe, according to this passage of Scripture, that the Word of God is to have a prominent place in society, not in our society, but in any society. The most important education that can be given is an education in the Word of God. Being familiar with Thus Saith the Lord. I remember after I trusted Christ as my Savior, that I realized that if I was to be a good Christian, not to be saved because you trust Christ as your Savior in order to go to heaven, but if I was going to be a good Christian, I needed to know the Word of God. And that conviction has held me down through the years, that I need to know the Word of God. When I went to Bible college 4 years later, I majored in Bible, but I felt like that if I get the Bible down pat, that everything else I can kind of figure out, and that's worked out pretty good for me. You know, pass or fail, that's worked pretty good. I reckon I can probably say now, if I told this to Brother Hunter when he was interviewing me, I don't know that he would have hired me, but I had no idea what to do about youth ministry. He said, I need somebody that's going to work building the youth ministry and building the music ministry. I knew a little bit about music, what I learned from Brother Jim Burns, but I didn't know anything about doing youth, amen. But I knew the Word of God, and I knew Brother Mark Pollard, who worked with youth. So if you don't have brains, you borrow them, or if you don't have brains, as Jerry Falwell says, you can buy brains, but you can't buy character. So, but I believe, and I believe this tonight, that if we know the Word of God and we are straight on Thus Saith the Lord, that we'll be able to handle everything else that comes along our way. I'm not saying not to get an education. I'm not saying that at all. If I'm going to a medical doctor, I want him to have a good medical education and that he's practiced on somebody else first. Can I have a witness? Amen. If a surgeon, the surgeon that worked on my knee about 3 or 4 years ago, I wanted somebody that knew what they were doing. So what I'm saying is, above everything else that we learn, let's make sure that we know the Word of God. Imagine what our society would be like if there was a great knowledge of the Word of God among the average citizen of our country. Do you realize that the two, and I realize I'm going to get in trouble for being political, but do you realize this, that 20 years ago, neither one of the people that are the banner holders for each party would even be considered? Do you realize that 40 years ago, they wouldn't even be able to run for dog catcher? Because there was a time that people knew what the Word of God had to say. If there is a common knowledge of the Word of God, a lot of the debate that's going on today would not even be considered, because we would know what the Word of God says. Why do we have the dilemma that we have in our society tonight? Very simply, it is a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. I mean, we don't even know what version of the Bible to use today. And 40, 50 years ago, there was not a debate on which one to use. There was, I mean, 70 years ago, there wasn't a debate on whether a person needed to repent in order to be saved. We've come a long way. And so an education in the Word of God is very, very important. The education of the Word of God, religious education, is to take place primarily in the home, as our text is going to bear out tonight. While the Bible needs to be taught in our schools and in the public arena, the most profitable teaching takes place in the home. The local church is to be a tool to help with religious instruction in the home. The teaching and preaching ministry of the church is to encourage the teaching of the Bible in our homes, which make up, and by the way, our homes make up the building block of society. The reason that our society is unraveling is because our homes are unraveling. We have taken the children out of the home. We've taken moms out of the home. And with the Industrial Revolution, we took the man out of the home. And what we have is a terrible mess. where there's no moorings or foundation that our children can build on. And no wonder the millennial generation is in such a mess. And we can fuss about them and talk about them and talk about all the characteristics, but we are the ones that produce the millennial generation. Amen? I didn't really want to say amen there, but I mean, it's true. We need to get back. We have taken the religious education of the home, and we have taken the Bible out of our schools years ago. We've taken the Bible out of our home, and now we've even taken it out of the church. And what we need to do, one of the purposes of our youth ministry that we're laboring toward, some of the reorganization and the changings that we want to make, we want to do what we can not to replace the home in religious education, but we want to do what we can to encourage religious education in the home, so that way not only are young people, teenagers, children, and adults getting the Word of God here at the Orangeburg Baptist Tabernacle, but that we're encouraging religious education when they get at home, because the only way that we're going to produce rock solid Christians for the next generation is to get the order that is expounded by Moses in our text. Getting religious education in the home, this will accomplish more to turn the tide of our society than any other work that we can do. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Moses, again, this, as we mentioned this morning in the message that we preached, these are his memoirs, this is his final writing, final saying, final message before he goes home to be with the Lord. And he is encouraging the children of Israel, not only as we looked at this morning, to give God the praise for their financial and material blessings that they're going to enjoy in the future, but also he is laying down a foundation and instruction so that the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that will have an understanding and a knowledge of the Word of God. Because they're going to come a generation. Now Moses and the generation that he is talking to have seen the 10 plagues that took place in Egypt, and how God had delivered Israel by a mighty hand out of the bondage of Egypt. How that God had led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. How God had provided for them in the wilderness for 38 years, close to 40 years. And they have seen with their eyes what God has done. But their children haven't seen it. And so Moses is laying the foundation down so that when the next generation, why do we have the Passover? Why do we keep these ordinances? Why do we keep the Word of God? Then the fathers will say, because there was a time that God delivered us out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, and made us a nation. I believe that one of the greatest things that could take place with the generation that lives today is to be able to see firsthand exhibit and exhortation together, and it's just not coming out right. Amen. My Eastern North Carolina dialect is not helping me out right now. We need an exposition. There we go. Is that right? I don't know if that's right or not. I tape that don't record this. We need a demonstration, amen. If plan A or plan B don't work, then you come up with plan C. What this generation needs is a demonstration of the mighty hand of God and a move of the Holy Ghost of God. Those of us that were here 20 years ago saw what I would describe from the Word of God and from what I've read about revival, a taste of revival. Where we saw God's Holy Ghost move in mighty power. And many people came to know the Lord. And God did a mighty work. And I say, Lord, do it again. And I believe God desires to do that again. And I believe God will do it again. And if there's going to be another generation and a continuation of the work of God, then it is necessary that we see God do a great and a mighty work. The Word of God's place in society. Look at verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. He says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." Just a few things I want to look at tonight, and we'll let you go home. Number one, we're to lay the Word of God up. The Word of God's place in society is to be that of a prominent place. And it begins by laying the Word of God up, that we always have the Word of God before our eyes. We see in verse 18 that we're to lay these, my words, in your heart. The heart is the seat of the emotions. We have the dizzy philosophy to follow your heart. Your heart is not a good leader. You're to guard your heart. And the best way to guard your heart is to lay up the Word of God in your heart, so that instead of being governed by your emotions, that our emotions are governed by the Word of God. Amen? You know, what does your heart tell you? My heart, like your heart, Jesus said, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I think Isaiah said that. Jesus said, "From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Adulteries and lies and other things come from the heart and defile the man." This heart is deceitful above all things. So the heart must be guarded. It must be guarded by the Holy Spirit. And the best way to keep your heart in check, to govern your emotions, is to lay the Word of God up in your heart. To hide God's Word in your heart, that you might not sin against God. Not only are we to lay up the word of God in our heart, but in our soul. The soul is the innermost being. We're to not only allow the Word of God to lay it up in our heart to govern our emotions, but we're to lay it up in our soul to govern our thoughts. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. What I'm looking at, what I'm thinking about, is what I'll become. And what I put in my mind and what I have in my mind is so very important. Lay up the Word of God in your soul so that it governs your thoughts. The devil, while he cannot access the heart of a Christian, he can make impressions on your mind. But the mind that is full of the Word of God, the devil will have a hard time fighting against. Not only that, it says that we are to bind them for a sign upon your hands. Bind the Word of God upon your hands. The hands represent our work, our labor, our employment. The Word of God is to govern my emotions, is to govern my thoughts, and to govern what I do. And it goes without saying that it should govern also where I go. Lay the Word of God up. For the Word of God to have a prominent place in society, it must begin with you and me. It must begin with you and I making it a priority to be a Bible student, to study the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to know what this Bible teaches. Every young person here, every young adult, every teenager should spend time in the book of Proverbs every day. The book of Proverbs is wisdom laid up by Solomon for his son. And every young man and every young woman needs to be a student of the book of Proverbs. J. Vernon McGee said there's a proverb for every person. A proverb that fits everybody. The book of Proverbs will teach you the right way to go and teach you how to avoid the wrong way. It'll teach you the right friends to have and the friends to stay away from. young men that'll tell you the type of young lady you need to hang around and the type of young lady to avoid. And ladies that'll teach you the same thing about young men. Lay up the Word of God in your heart, in your soul, in your hands to make it a part of who you are. And then in verse 19, we're to teach the Word of God in our home. Verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children. Religious education begins in the home and is most effective in the home. One of the most fertile grounds of evangelism is in the home. One of the most fertile grounds of the Word of God having a lodging in our hearts and souls and our mind is in the home. Where am I to teach the Word of God? Speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. While you're at leisure, whether sitting in your recliner drinking sweet tea and eating something that's probably not approved by the American Heart Association, or whether you're sitting at the table, the Word of God needs to be prominent. That doesn't mean that you need to be reading the Bible every single moment in your home, but the Word of God is to have a prominent place in the home. Amen? Where? When thou walkest by the way, while carrying out your work, while going around carrying out your employment. The Word of God needs to have a prominent place. I want to remind you that before the Industrial Revolution of the early 1800s, that the majority of the trades that were learned, that the sons learned from their fathers. So that the fathers, as they would carry out their trade or occupation, they taught their son their trade of occupation, which in turn taught their son. So that employment, not only did you have the leisure time at home, recreation time at home, but even the employment that took place resided primarily in the home. And therefore, children had a very strong influence from the home, and that's why Moses is saying the Word of God needs to be prominent. Now, though we have the Industrial Revolution, and I'm not fussing about that. I mean, I don't, as far as I know, I don't have anybody that's Amish. I'm not saying anything against the Amish, but I thank God for electricity. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for a horseless carriage. Amen. And preferably if it's a pickup truck. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the industrial advances that we have. But we need to keep in mind that though we have been removed from the home, we need to make sure that when we are in our homes, men, when we are in our homes, ladies, that we are making the Word of God paramount and that Jesus is ahead of our home. Teaching the Word of God in your home. When? When you lie down. When you're resting. When thou risest up. You realize that the phraseology that Moses is using here, you shall teach your children, speaking to them, when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down at night, when you're getting up in the morning. What he's saying is that there should be constant reminders of the Word of God. And everything that we do. Not only that we're teaching the Bible, but also that we're living the Bible. Number three, we're to publish the Word of God publicly. In verse 20, thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house. When people visit your home, is it evident that they're visiting a Christian home? I'm not talking about having Psalm 23 on the doorpost of your house. I'm talking about when they go into your home, can they sense the Spirit of Christ in your home? Can they sense the presence of the Lord by how you conduct yourself in your home? You answer that question in your own heart and mind. And if all of us would be honest with ourselves, all of us have some improvements to make so that Christ is the center of the home. If the Word of God is the center, Christ is going to be the center of our home. We're to write the Word of God is to be prominent in our home. It is to be known that we are a Christian home. To write them upon your gates, upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. The gates are the entryway into our homes, the entryway into the cities. We are to proclaim the Word of God publicly. The Sanhedrin Council had threatened Peter and James and John and told them that they were to cease preaching in the name of Jesus. And Peter boldly declared that we ought to obey God rather than man. There's an element of society. There is a move, I believe, of purging and cleansing a public society of elements of Christianity. We've already heard, we've heard politicians and business people say it is all right to practice your religion within the four walls of your home and the four walls of your church. What they're saying is keep it in the church and don't let it out in society. There's only one problem. God commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He commissioned us to go out and tell others about Christ, to be a witness for the glory of God. We are to proclaim the Word of God. We're to proclaim it in our home. We're to proclaim it in our community. The Lord Jesus talked about going to the highways, the hedges, the streets, and the lanes. I mean, we are to carry out the Word of God into places of business, in the community, in our neighborhoods, in the places we can get to easily, and in the hedges of places that they got a pipe sunshine in. We need to take the gospel there. The Word of God's place in society is to be a prominent place in my heart and my mind, and what I do is to have a prominent place in our home, and we are to publish the Word of God publicly. Daniel Webster, one of the great statesmen of our country in the early 1800s, talked about the importance of disseminating religious literature as a vital step of ensuring that the United States population would know how to be saved and to know about Christ. And the distributing of religious literature is just as important today, whether by using tracts or booklets or using social media. It is important that the Word of God goes out. Because if we do not get the Word of God out, you can rest assured that the devil is going to get his lies and his damnation out there, and he desires to destroy every person that he can. So we are the publisher of the Word of God. We're to publish it. God gave the Word. Great is the company of those that publish it. We're to share our faith. We're to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, that's not a job for the preacher. That's not a job for the deacons. That is a job for every Christian. I would challenge anybody in this congregation to show me why you should not be involved in getting the gospel out. You won't do it from the Word of God. The early church practiced getting the gospel out. See, if we make it our business of making the Word of God prominent in our lives as individual Christians and make it prominent in our home and in our church, it will influence society. The Word of God needs to have a prominent place in our lives. Look at verse 21. We see the blessings upon society. There's a great blessing upon society when the Word of God is prominent. Number one, that your days may be multiplied. When you make the Word of God prominent, God promises to lengthen your life. That your days, and that phraseology, that's what it means, that your days may be multiplied. How many of you want to live a long life and have a peaceful life? Say amen. If you keep the Word of God prominent, you'll add to your days. Well, I know somebody that was a dedicated Christian that died when they were 21. Well, praise God, if they hadn't honored the Word of God, they might have died when they was 12. So I don't know. I don't know. I know somebody that tried to honor the Lord and all they had was trouble. Well, Job said, as a smart man is born in the trouble, as the sparks fly upward. And he that is born of woman he that is born of woman is born under trouble. How many of you got a mother? Raise your hand. You're born under trouble. Okay? The only person that didn't have a mother was Adam and Eve, two of them. And they had trouble. And the rest of us are going to have trouble too. God did not promise you a trouble-free life. But God did promise that he would stick closer than a brother when you go through your trouble. Amen. That we've got a constant companion. Lengthening of life. To honor the Word of God. To honor church. Well, I had a bad experience in church. Well, I've had a bad experience at a restaurant. But I hadn't stopped going. Amen. Not only will an honoring the Word of God lengthen your life, but it will also lengthen the life of your children, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. That not only is it a blessing when you and I honor the Word of God, but it is a blessing to our children. It is a blessing in the community, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. It is a blessing to a community. It is a blessing to Orangeburg County and Orangeburg City when you and I honor the Word of God. The promise of God is displayed which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. When we honor the Word of God, it gives God an opportunity to honor His promise so that His name will be glorified, and then you can have heaven on earth. That you can have your days multiplied as the days of heaven upon the earth. Our homes could be a little heaven on earth if we so desire it. The house of God, when we come to church, it ought to be a little heaven on earth. Amen? If every one of us, as members of the Orangeburg Baptist Tabernacle, would come prayed up, fired up, stirred up, what do you think we're going to have in the house of God? We're going to have a stirred up, prayed up, fired up church. Amen? We've got a great church. God's been good to us. Amen? The Word of God needs to have a prominent place. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 tells us the prophet of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much of the Word of God is inspired? All of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable for doctrine in that it is the foundation of truth. What we're teaching and what we build upon, the foundation that we build our lives upon, should be truth. Reproof, to let us know of our error, of where we go wrong. None of us get things right all the time. We need somebody to let us know when we mess up. And the Word of God does that. For correction, not only do we denote our error, but how to correct it, how to take care of it. When we're faced with a problem, when we've come short of the glory of God, and I have let God down and I've let others down, I need to know how to take care of that. And the Word of God will give that correction. And then for instruction, to teach us the way we are to go. Now the result of making the Word of God prominent in our homes, in our lives, in our church, the result is that we're going to produce Christians that are blameless. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean that you're going to be sinless perfect, but you're going to be blameless. That nobody can point a finger at you or I and say, well, that person is not living for the Lord like he should. The man of God may be perfect, and it says, throughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God will produce Christians that are mature, that are blameless, that are thoroughly furnished Christians that are doing the work of God and living a righteous and a holy life, that have peace and joy and love and compassion. It would do us good to get back to the Awana theme verse, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I remember James Bryan made this statement, and it stuck with me. The word of God is to be studied. The attempts at modern translations of the Bible is to make the Bible read like an everyday newspaper. The only thing is that God never intended for the Bible to be read like an everyday newspaper. By the way, the newspaper doesn't do for me what this book does. The newspaper is not good news, but the gospel is. The word of God is so simple that a child can read it and understand it. But yet it is so profound that you can spend the rest of your life and never dig all the gold and the silver and the precious stones that are contained in the word of God. J. Vernon McGee said that God gave everything we needed in this earth, but you've got to drill for it and dig for it. And God gave this word, but you've got to drill and dig to get what you need out of it. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Hey, if we study this Bible and we're good workmen for God, we will not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.